God, we celebrate your goodness. We celebrate your mercy and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Noah's flood is one of those stories, the flood and then Noah's intervention through God's provision to build an ark made out of gopher wood. It's interesting that there's no reference that Noah had any help building the ark. Interesting. Quite an undertaking. There's some parallels that Jesus has with Noah that to me are striking and have struck me in a new way as I've approached this very familiar story once again. Peter's letter to the exiles, those who have been persecuted, the church had been dispersed, and so in his first letter to this dispersed church, Peter speaks of the flood as a baptism. And so links this first reading, I think, very directly with the gospel reading of Jesus' own baptism. There are clearly differences, but there are also similarities, and I would want to highlight this morning similarities that have struck me between Noah and Jesus. There's been a lot of written on this. Many commentators are in dialogue about this. But I offer it to you this morning, hopefully to edify you and to encourage you in your walk with Christ. We don't like to focus on it, at least I don't like to, but the flood destroyed God's good creation. Would you agree? God created and said it was good. And then God destroyed all humanity, animals, insects, everything, and covered the earth with water. And if we could look at the water covering the earth as a wilderness, a different kind of wilderness, but nothing there. In the wilderness, there are things living and growing, but boy, not very many. So I just offer that as, and you hopefully see where I'm going with the parallel with Jesus, at least one aspect of the parallel. Noah did this work of preparation without knowing what God's plan was. In the ark, God preserved life. We're told that Noah and his family found refuge in the ark and were saved from destruction. And the reason why is because Noah was found righteous. Again, no mention of his family. So Noah is singularly sort of involved here in God's plan of redemption as Jesus was singularly involved. Clearly, Noah was part of fallen humanity. And because of the fall, as we know, the curse upon the ground was that humanity would, by the sweat of their brow, earn a living. It's interesting that Lamech, Noah's father, named him Noah, which means rest. Interesting that Jesus is called a Sabbath rest for the people of God. No more striving. No more burden under the curse. Jesus would lift the curse and lead people in salvation. Noah was there to give people rest. If you read back in Genesis 6, you think, man, it hasn't been that long since this was all created. How did it go wrong so quickly? I don't know if you've ever considered that. But we're told in Genesis 6, this is an unusual chapter and an unusual story. We're told that the sons of God, so phrased, spiritual beings, the same word used for angels, notice that the daughters of humanity were beautiful and desirous. And so they left their place in heaven and sought out these women. Did the spiritual beings take on a physical form? We're not told. We can assume so. Something happened. But the point is that it was a rebellious act on behalf of these spiritual beings. They had children, and the children were giants and were a violent nature. They were called the Nephilim. Not much is said about them, and so we can't know definitively, and yet the feeling is that this ploy, if you will, of Satan was to infect the human race with this bent towards rebellion through the sons of God coming and populating the earth with these Nephilim. It's said that God wearied of this situation and would start over. And yet he saw in Noah a righteousness, a separation from, an uncontaminated line, genetic line, if you will. Now, I know this sounds probably a bit foreign and a bit unusual, and it is. And I'm not trying to make too fine a point here, but the parallel is profound for me as I encounter it. That Noah, unpolluted by this rebellion, although part of the fall, and had rebellion in his own heart, was used by God to bring salvation. Those who were in Noah's ark were saved. Those who are in Christ, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that he might win for us salvation. Those who are in Christ know salvation. It's the letter in 1 Peter that makes the link of the flood to being like a baptism. And the Christian's salvation being connected with water. In the letter, this first letter of Peter, it's said that this is not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. That this salvation is not an external ceremonial salvation so that one could go to the temple to worship. No, this is an inward transformation. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death. Cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. Hebrews speaks of this as well. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus has invited us into this life, his very life, to be saved through water. And this baptism, now prefigured, Peter says, now saves you. He also talks about Jesus going to preach to the prisoners. It's again, a bit of a strange part of Scripture. And we don't know exactly what's being referred to, but could it be, and commentators suggest it could be, he was made alive in the spirit, although he was put to death in the flesh, in which he also went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. In the former times, who did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved. Could it be that it was this rebellious offspring that were these spirits in prison to whom Jesus, after he was killed and before he was resurrected, went and preached to those spirits in prison? We don't know exactly, but could it be? And I commend that to you. Jude 6, 1 Peter 3, and of course, Genesis 6. Noah and his family were the new family. Jesus is the new man, the firstborn of creation. As he comes up out of the water, identifying with sinful humanity, although he was without sin, and before he did any act of ministry, there was a voice from heaven, and the Father said, "This is my son, with whom I am well pleased." He affirms Jesus in his sonship, in his identity. In Christ alone, we find salvation. In Noah's work alone, through God's prompting and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he created this ark. And so in the flood and then the restoration following, God had established a covenant with Noah. And we understand that the new covenant through Jesus' blood was established through his life, death, and resurrection. And it's what we celebrate this morning. This new covenant, which is extended to us all. Let's not miss the opportunity to get on board. To get on board with Jesus and experience this salvation that's been extended in our time.